Sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to this edition of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Again, thank you for joining me. This week's show is literally going to be all over the board. My, oh my, things are happening in this country, and they're happening at a breakneck pace. It is obvious that racial tensions in this country are at an all-time high. It's just the things going on across the country that started in Minnesota and then just exploded across the country, and it right now shows no sign of stopping. We're going to talk about George Floyd, the whole situation surrounding these protests, if you want to call them that, and then we're going to talk about, of course, our illustrious governor in Michigan and the firestorm she has put herself in, or I should say her husband has put her in. It's a case of do as I say, not as I do, and she has no response for it because people are now getting fed up. We're going to talk about that too, and I may jump on other subjects. This show is unscripted, and it is just flying by the seat of my pants this week. So be ready for anything this show, but the world and the country it's going crazy. But before we get into the show, I just want to thank every one of you that sent me letters of encouragement last week. The listeners of this show never, ever cease to amaze me. Last week's show was extremely personal. It was personal on many, many levels. And at the beginning of the show, I mentioned how I was just absolutely stunned and taken aback by the outright barrage of hatred from those, and let's call it what it is, those on the left. It really shook me, and after I did that show, I almost didn't post last week's show. I was so mad at myself because I felt like I caved. I gave in. I gave them what they wanted. I totally changed what my topic was going to be on, and I'm so upset at myself for that. I've never done that before, and I will never do that again. It's not going to happen. And, you know, it was a tough week for me. And the past week after I posted that show, just the number of encouraging, absolutely encouraging, keep it up, you're doing the work, you're doing the job, and just words of encouragement. That's all I can say. It just, well, that overwhelmed me. In a good way, of course. And I just want to take a quick second and say thank you to everyone that sent me words of encouragement and gave me the drive again. Because I'll be honest with you, it was really, really tough to get behind the microphone again for last week's show. And you guys just knocked it out of the park. And, you know, there's a lot of people said, you're absolutely right, Tom. We need to stand up for one another because nobody else is going to. The people on the left will cry and they will scream and they will talk louder than us on the right, and they're the ones that get heard. We are content with being heard at the ballot box, apparently. Well, that may or may not work, because right now this vote by mail thing, which I call cheat by mail, is taking hold across the country. And if that comes to fruition, there's no way Republicans are ever going to win another election. They are going to be, I've heard stories of people who have had 8-9 ballots mailed to their home here in Michigan. And some of them were addressed to people who haven't lived at that address in 25 years, a quarter of a century. So if you're a Democrat and you get these ballots in the mail, you're just filling, it's not me, but I'm just going to fill it out anyway and mail it back in. And guess what? That counts. So it's good to know that the people listening are behind you, and you guys are. Now, there was one message I received on my Facebook site, and I normally don't receive messages on my Facebook site, so I was really glad to see this, but this is from a fairly new listener. His name is Scott, and Scott, if you're listening, you know who you are. I'm not going to get into the personal details about himself that he had in the message, but I'll give enough to know, let you know what he said. But it starts off, "I listened to your podcast on the Talk Right app for the first time on May 17th. You talked about some controversial stuff, but then again, who doesn't? I enjoyed it. I found it to be very honest and informative. Then I listened again on the 25th, and on that episode, you revealed that you got some shit over what you talked about from the previous week. Well, I drive a truck and I live in Michigan. I heard about the barber story a few weeks ago. I didn't hear any updates about his situation until you talked about it. I knew nothing about the Michigan militia getting involved in getting into a possible conflict with the state police. I agree with everything you said, 100%. Also, how can you be a Nazi when you're speaking out against a tyrant? That's a great question. Now, the other shows I listen to are good, but they don't touch on what's going on in Michigan too much. It's more on a national level, but you do, and if you didn't, it would be information I wouldn't have known about otherwise. Now, for what it's worth, I think you should have your own show. It's that good. So I hope you don't get too discouraged about negative comments. Like you said, if they don't like it, they can move on." That was from Scott, and that was the one I wanted to post, because that one just struck home. First off, thank you for the message, Scott. It really gave me hope. It really lightened and lifted my spirits. Everybody else, you did too. Thank you. I'm not trying to make yours any less special, but this is a new listener. This is a listener from Michigan. And it's good to know, and I do this sometimes. I'm wondering, okay, because I do a show a week, one show a week, and by the time I'm talking about the news, most of it has been out for a couple days. So I always wonder, well, you know, are they getting anything they hadn't heard about before? Just getting it from a different point of view. But this is proof in the pudding right here, everybody. This person got information that he didn't know. He didn't know the Michigan militia was there. He heard about the barber, but he didn't know what was going on after. So that is awesome. And I love the fact that he thinks that I should have my own show, and what I'm assuming he thinks it should be on the radio, like a syndicated show. And I'm all for it. I'm great with that. And then it was the first sentence. He started listening on May 17th on the Talk Right app. I use the Talk Right app all the time. I listen to Steve Gruber, Sean Hannity, Joe Pags, The Blaze, Mark Levin. And I didn't even know my show was on the Talk Right app. And I never put myself on there. And, you know, usually you have to submit the podcast to the host, you know, the app or whatever, and they'll put you on if they feel it's worthy enough. I don't know how it got on there, and I am more than ecstatic that it got on there. I mean, to be in the same group as Hannity, Mark Levin, Steve Gruber, Joe Pags, The Blaze, to be even remotely intertwined with them is amazing. And I'm telling you, if you are a conservative and you like conservative talk radio, you need to go download the Talk Right app. Just put in Talk Right, and it's an app that you download, and it's literally every conservative talk show out there. A lot of them are streaming live, but you can go into podcasts, you can go into streams. And apparently, if you just do a search, The Paranormal Patriot with Tom Velasquez, and again, I don't know how it got on there like that. I never put with Tom Velasquez. Somehow, this got on that show. Hopefully, they listened to my show and somebody said, this guy needs to be on here. I don't know. But The Paranormal Patriot with Tom Velasquez on the Talk Right app, again, I told Scott, I'm like, I didn't even know I was on there. That just made my day. It made my week. I was so excited about it. So to everybody that sent me encouraging emails, encouraging messages, thank you. Trust me, I'm not going to cave like I did ever again. If I got to talk about something, I'm going to talk about it. And if you don't like it, scroll on. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about the subject that's on everybody's mind right now. I've had a lot of people ask me what my thoughts were. You're going to hear about it. George Floyd. What do I think of what happened? And what do I think of the aftermath of what happened? Sit back, relax, open that mind. Stay tuned. Pretty controversial subject. And, of course, I'll be the one talking about it. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Till the gas runs out.
Well, you've heard him on the show before. Now you need to hear him on his own podcast. You heard Jay Miles talk with me, the Paranormal Patriot, and just enlighten you with his knowledge. He expands on that knowledge on his own show, Vanishing Gates. If you're into true crime, the paranormal, the supernatural, do yourself a favor and find Vanishing Gates. Jay Miles is the host. He's an amazing person. You are guaranteed to learn something on every show that you listen to. So again, if you like true crime, the paranormal, the supernatural, find Vanishing Gates and listen to it. You can tell him the Paranormal Patriot sent you because it is Paranormal Patriot approved.
Got the upper hand, I've been down on my luck. Yeah, I've had better days, but of high, steep falls. There's a reason why people love an underdog. Battles on one, they just show who you are. And in the end, you know I'm open mind. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
Alrighty, so the topic everybody is talking about. And my email has been inundated with listeners asking my thoughts and what I think is going to happen. And I said, well, I have my thoughts and I'll spell them out on this week's show. And it's funny because I received a message from the administrator of that page that I had an issue with before. And his post to me was, hey, with everything going on with this George Flynn protest, this is a very controversial subject. I am going to tell you right now, if you post anything controversial on this page, I will delete it and you will be banned. So I responded with a simple, this is a controversial subject. This is a subject that the whole country is talking about. I guarantee you, I am going to say something controversial in my show. Controversial to some, the others are going to say, yeah, I agree with it. It's a very divided subject. It was my plan in the beginning when I decided to talk about this on this week's show to not tip my hand when I write the show notes. I want people to listen so they hear what I have to say. So no, it's not going to be controversial. And then I ended it with, you really need to think and decide for yourself if being an administrator on this page is such a good idea, because you are actually going to control
what is coming in and out. And there are going to be things that you do not agree with that a lot of your listeners will agree with. It's not all about your opinion. If you want to make your site just a liberal posting site, you need to change the description and the name of the site. The description is going to say only left-leaning liberal podcasts will be accepted, and change the name to like liberal podcasts. You have a platform where 50% of the people think differently than you, and you cannot ban everyone who doesn't agree with you. I'd never got a response back from them. I didn't expect to, so I'm kind of curious to see what happens when I post this show, but we all know what happened. Minnesota State Police detained George Flynn. And there's video of this officer, a white officer, George Flynn is a black man, of this officer with his knee on George Flynn's neck for 8 minutes. And George Flynn is saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And at that point, after a little bit, George Flynn becomes unresponsive and dies. So here's where my feelings come into the show. To begin with, this officer never, ever, ever should have had his knee on George Flynn's neck for 8 minutes. Why did they have handcuffs? Why couldn't he detain him, put him in the back of a car? I've heard stories that George Flynn was being resistant. He was being abusive and combative. I can't substantiate that. I wasn't there. There were multiple other officers there. Why are they letting him? This is not normal police procedure. I've talked to many police officers about this, and this is not a procedure that is recognized by any police department. You don't put your knee on the neck for 8 minutes. You may put your knee on there for a second to hold him down, to let him know, don't move, to subdue him. 8 minutes. 8 minutes. First off, that is extremely uncomfortable. I can't imagine the pain George Flynn was going through. But what were the other officers doing in this? Why were they not stepping in and saying, hey, dude, okay, let's handcuff him. Let's put him in the back of the car. But you see the video of these officers just walking around, doing nothing, looking at it, and it's just like it's okay. Now let's contrast that. All these people are videotaping this. Why is nobody stepping in and saying, get off his neck? Get off of him. You're going to kill him. Now, would that have done anything? Probably not. It probably wouldn't have done a thing, because I know there are officers. I know many police officers. And 99.9% of the officers around the country and around the world are good, good people who do this job because they love it and they want to protect the communities they live in. You have that bunch of bad apples, and you're going to have that in any type of profession. There's always going to be a bad apple wherever you are. Think of your workplace and think of all the good workers you work with. And then think, oh, yeah, this guy's an idiot. This guy's a jerk off. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't follow the rules. Any type of environment you have, you're going to have those bad apples. Can you root them out? Yes, but the problem is they're only going to be replaced with other bad apples over time. Now, this officer, whose name is Derek Chauvin, a 19-year veteran of the Minnesota Police Department, he's had an odd history. I understand police officers are going to be they're going to have more of a record of shooting people or things like that, just because of their job. But in 2006, Chauvin and five others responded to a stabbing. Now, Wayne Reyes, 42, allegedly pulled a shotgun on the officers, and one of the officers shot and killed Reyes. In 2008, Chauvin shot and wounded Ira Latrell Tolles during a domestic assault call. Chauvin and the other officers showed up at an apartment in South Minneapolis just before 2 a.m. Tolles grabbed for an officer's gun, and Chauvin shot him in the abdomen. It's not a bad thing for a police officer to shoot somebody. That's what they're here for, to do their job and protect. If this guy is grabbing for an officer's gun, you have to respond. But that's just an example. There's more examples of things that this guy has. He always seems to be in the bad place. Wrong place at the wrong time. They fired the four officers that were on the scene. As I say, Derek Chauvin, the Minnesota State or Minnesota Police Department officer, had his knee on the neck of George Floyd for 8 minutes. And during that time, George Floyd can be heard saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And lo and behold, George Floyd becomes unresponsive and unconscious, and he later died. Well, those four officers have been fired, and that is where the mayhem started. And listen, I don't want you to think that this is not something you should do. You should protest this. This is something that needs to stop. There are police officers out there that abuse their power. And it seems like this Derek Chauvin guy is one of them. And man, he had a bad week. He got fired, his wife's divorcing him, and now he's charged with murder. So that's a bad week. But there are police officers out there that, again, they will abuse their power. And we need to put these people in the spotlight because this has to stop. I commend the officers in Corunna, in Owosso, in my area, and in Shiawassee, the Shiawassee County Sheriff's Department, for stepping back and saying, listen, we're not going to enforce this stay-at-home thing. It's not worth our time. We don't even know if it's constitutional. And again, I don't want to disparage the state police, but my issue is with the state police. I mentioned, 2 weeks ago maybe, Operation Haircut, where barbers went on the Capitol lawn in Lansing and started giving out free haircuts, and the state police were just there smiling, just giddy as school kids, handing out disorderly conduct tickets to people. Left and right, they were handing them out like candy. And again, is that really what the state police should be doing? Especially in Lansing that has a huge crime problem? Is that where we're going to use our resources? To hand out disorderly conduct citations to people who just want to work? So there are bad apples. I get it. There are 99.9 good apples. Unfortunately, those good apples don't get the respect they deserve, and the only time you hear about the bad apples is when something like this happens. This man should have never died. Now, it has come out, the autopsy has said he did not die from asphyxiation. He died from other health-related issues. Now, you can say, well, that just exonerates that officer. Well, let's back up there. Let's get a timeline as to what exactly happened with George Floyd and this officer. Now, this whole thing began about 8 p.m. when an employee at the Cups Food convenience store called police to say that a customer who was later identified as Floyd had tried to use a counterfeit $20 bill to buy cigarettes. Now, according to a surveillance video from a restaurant, it shows that Floyd was initially encountered by two officers, Thomas Lane and J.A. Kung. Now, when the police arrived at Cup Foods, Floyd and his two companions were still there in an SUV parked across from the store. Lane and Kung speak to them, and then Floyd, in the driver's seat, is taken into custody and handcuffed. A police statement said at this point, Floyd physically resisted the officer. Now, specifically as cited by the Hennepin County District's office or District Attorney Office in the criminal complaint concerning Floyd's death, Officer Lane ordered Mr. Floyd out of the car, put his hands on Mr. Floyd, and pulled him out of the car. Officer Lane handcuffed Mr. Floyd. Mr. Floyd actively resisted being handcuffed. Once handcuffed, Mr. Floyd became compliant and walked with Officer Lane to the sidewalk and sat on the ground at Officer Lloyd's discretion. Now, the handcuffing is largely hidden from the camera's view by the SUV, but at one point, Floyd seems to stumble and drop to the ground, and the officer pulls him back up to his feet. The officer, Lane, his reaction does not indicate alarm. Kung turns and looks at them briefly and does not offer aid to his partner. Now, this George Floyd guy is 6'4" with an athletic build. He worked as a bouncer and a truck driver. And in the video, he towers over the two officers. The officers have Floyd sit on the sidewalk for a short time, then walk him across the street to where their car or their squad car is parked, along with that of two other officers who had recently arrived. Now, the surveillance video does not show what happened across the street where the officers asked Floyd to get in their squad car. The district attorney's report cites the account given by police. Mr. Floyd did not voluntarily get in the car and struggled with officers by intentionally falling down, saying he was not going into the car and refusing to stand still. Floyd ended up getting pinned to the ground by Officer Derek Chauvin. On a bystander's video, Floyd complains of pain and not being able to breathe as Chauvin keeps a knee on his neck. Onlookers are urging Chauvin to let him up. Floyd then goes silent. Police said in their statement this week that officers noted Floyd appeared to be suffering a medical distress situation and called for an ambulance. He was later declared dead at a hospital a short time later. Now, the medics team that responded to the incident worked on an unresponsive, pulseless male. Now, that is according to the Minneapolis Fire Department narrative released by the police. Now, the Minnesota Park Police, whose officers provided assistance at the scene, have released redacted body cam video. Most of it takes place after Flynn had been taken away by the officers from the city force. At the end of it, the unidentified park officer tells Floyd's two companions, just stay put, all right, until my partners and them are done over there and they can figure things out. We'll figure things out, all right. Right now, we're grabbing an ambulance for your buddy. As of now, Minneapolis police have not released body cam footage. So, it seemed for those who were on the officer's side, the autopsy report that he did not die from asphyxiation, that he died from medical conditions that he had, most notably a heart condition and diabetes, that exonerated Officer Chauvin. In my opinion, it does not. If the guy's got a heart condition and he's got somebody with a knee on his neck and he's in pain and he says he can't breathe, you put him in a situation where his heart can give out. So for those of you who are saying this officer should be exonerated, he should be put back on the force, he shouldn't be charged with murder, I think the officer committed murder. His actions led to the death of George Floyd. So that's where I stand on that. This officer was way out of line, should not have been doing anything. Listen. They're at the squad car. Why is his knee on him? The video shows not really much in the way of resistance. Now, again, we don't see what happened at the squad car, but it seemed like George Floyd just kind of gave up. He understood, all right, I'm busted. Let's go. At first, he might have been a little bit resistant. Nothing that would constitute knee to the neck for 8 minutes, but once he got the handcuffs on him, it seemed that the resistance was gone. So word got out what was going on, and of course, people are upset, which rightfully so. And here's where my issue comes in. They started protesting. And of course, that protest all the time, as it does in Ferguson, Baltimore, wherever, all of a sudden turned into looting. It turned into buildings on fire. It turned into lawlessness. And I had a lot of people email me, say, Tom, what do you think of this? Is this right? And I'm going to tell you, on Facebook, I have a lot of people in my family. Apparently, I'm on the younger generation of my family is a bunch of liberals. And they're like, I have no problem with this. They need to make their voice heard. And I normally don't. I find myself getting into these situations a lot more. I normally do not like to engage in political banter one-on-one on Facebook. But I'm at the point where the younger generation of this country is so, so screwed up that I have a family member that posted basically that this this is what needs to be done to stop this violence, to stop white cops killing black people. And this is where my opinion comes in on this whole thing. There is a difference. There is a difference between protesting and rioting. Protesting, it's legal. Go ahead and protest all you want. When you start burning down buildings, when you start killing people, when you start looting, you stopped protesting. You are now breaking the law. And this may touch somebody in the wrong way, but let's be honest. There are racist people all over this country. First off, I am tired of being labeled a racist because just because I'm not black. I'm not a white guy. To be honest with you, I'm more Greek than anything else. But I'm labeled because I'm not black. I'm labeled as a racist. I had that privilege. I had that white privilege. No, I worked for everything I have. Now, I'm not going to say that there's not racism in this country because I know it is. I know there is. I'm not that stupid. I'm not that naive and I'm not that blind. There is a lot of racism. But the majority of people in this country could care less about the color of your skin until you start doing stupid stuff like this. What these quote-unquote protesters that are now rioters are doing is they are just solidifying the stereotype that these racist people have against them. They're totally defeating the purpose of what they're trying to accomplish. So when my, I'm not going to say the name, when that family member posted that, I had to shoot back. I said, there is a difference between what they're doing and what they need to do. Peaceful protests are the way to get things accomplished. By violence only begets violence. If you go out and you start trashing cars, trashing buildings, looting stores, what are you accomplishing? What point are you trying to make at that time? And this person's response was, nothing has ever come out of a peaceful protest. Peaceful protests do not work. So I responded, you're wrong. Look at Martin Luther King. There was nothing that he did that was violent. And his legacy and his message and his vision lives on to this day. I said, let's look at Ferguson. Let's look at Baltimore. Let's look at the Detroit riots of the 60s. Let's look at the Los Angeles riots. What happened with them? Did they get what they wanted? No. They are in the news for 2 weeks and then they're done. They're gone. Nobody cares. Because it was all about violence. It was all about setting buildings on fire. It was all about looting. It was all about killing one another. Martin Luther King was totally against that. His message was changing things through peace. And his message lives on. So to all of you rioters out there and all of you idiots that say this is their right to riot, they're trying to send a message. You're not sending a message. You're solidifying a stereotype. That's all you're doing. You want to change the world. You want your message to reverberate throughout this country and throughout this world? Look at Martin Luther King. Look at how he did it. That's how you do it. So things are bad. Things are horrible. Minnesota is just a war zone. It's an absolute war zone. People are, you know, this is the only thing in the world that could possibly take coronavirus off the map, and it did. People were afraid to go outside now because of coronavirus. Now, they're afraid to go outside because of riots and racial tensions. I'll be honest with you. If I lived in a big city, I would be afraid as a non-black person to be walking around town. Absolutely afraid. Flint, Michigan, Kalamazoo, everywhere around this country, the big cities are starting to protest. And I guarantee you what's going to happen. Some idiot's going to throw a rock through a window or throw something at a cop and all hell is going to break loose. I watched a video in San Jose, California, where a group of, and trust me, these were Antifa people. The punk little kids that think they're badass until you actually confront them. You know, the only response they have to somebody talking knowledge to them is to call them names and call them Nazis. I'm watching the video of them on the highway blocking traffic and destroying cars with people in them. I'm watching them pound on cars. I'm watching them break the windows of these cars. These people had nothing to do with the death of George Flynn. But this is what they do. This is how the left thinks things get done. If you can't do it with violence, it can't be done. I mean, look at Maxine Waters. If you see a Trump supporter, confront them. Make them uncomfortable. That is the message that the left is portraying. Now, when Donald Trump, which I don't know how I feel about, well, I do know how I feel about this, and I'll tell you in a second, but he said, look, he basically was telling the mayor and the governor of Minnesota and Minneapolis, look, if you can't control this, we're bringing in the military. And if we start seeing looters and they're shooting at us, we're shooting back. Those were essentially what he tweeted. We're shooting back. And oh my gosh, the left was up in arms. How can our president say he's going to shoot people? Okay, why is it okay to have people going around building, burning buildings, looting stores? Listen, we just had a federal officer killed in California. Two officers were standing guarding the building, the federal building in California, and a car comes up and starts shooting at them. One died, one's critically injured. Okay, why is that so bad? Why is it so bad to say, hey, if you're going to break the law and you're going to burn buildings and you're going to shoot at us while you're looting, we're shooting back. God, we need to take control of the situation. Again, I know there's some that's going to listen to this show and say, oh, you are so off base here, Tom. You don't understand the plight of the black man. I don't understand the plight of the black man because I'm not a black man. But listen, nowhere else in this world does the black community have a chance to do better than America. If you really want to get ahead in this country, no matter what your color, what your race, you can do it. You just have to break the cycle. You know, I'm not going to say that blacks don't have it rough. They do. They really do. But listen, again, I'm going to piss some people off, but I'm going to tell how it is. The black community is not doing itself any favors. Children need a strong parental presence in their lives. The black community, 70%, I think is the last number I saw, 70% of the black children in this country don't have a fatherly present. They are living with their single mother. Mothers can do a lot, but they can't be fathers. So all these women are having babies and the fathers are non-existent in these children's lives. Children need parental guidance. They need a strong father figure. It's no mystery why there is such rampant crime and rampant poverty in the black community. Part of it is, yes, that there are racist people out there and they will not give the black community a chance. But a lot of it is self-induced. And for those of you who are black that are listening to the show, that's not meant as a put down, it's not meant to disparage you, but it's an actual fact. Candace Owens, she stated that numerous times. Listen, the black community is bringing a lot of this on itself. And this is my point. There is a stereotype with a lot of these people in the world and in the country that black kids are just thugs and gang members. You want to break that stereotype? Don't go robbing people, looting, burning buildings, and killing people during these protests. You're just contributing to the stereotype that you are trying to get rid of. What are you going to do? By looting buildings, by burning buildings, by shooting people, killing people, what is the message you are trying to portray? And I've heard it before. Well, we're tired of it. Black Lives Matter. I'm so freaking tired of Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. We're all one. It doesn't matter your skin color, your race, your creed. We are humans. We matter. But by making a point that Black Lives Matter, But is your point that Black Lives Matter enough that I can shoot you, I can rob this store, I can loot this store, and I can burn this business? You're burning the businesses of the communities you live in, you idiots. In the black community, most of those businesses are owned by black owners. And these owners have spent their whole lives building their business, and you are destroying it. You're destroying their livelihood. For what? Because George Floyd was murdered by a bad cop. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, you need to make it known that you are not happy. This is not the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. Peacefully protest. Set a march up. Go on the Capitol grounds and protest that something needs to be done. Then, and only then, are people going to respond in an intelligent, thoughtful way to you. Right now, people are looking at this and going, same old, same old. You know, the racists in the world are looking at it going, yep, there it is, I told you. Bunch of animals. And again, I am tired of being labeled a racist because I'm not black. I have white people that have said, well, you're not black, you're a racist. You're a racist. You got white privilege. No. The privilege I had was I worked my behind off to get where I am right now. Is it where I want to be? No. I'd love to be even better off. But I have a roof over my head. My kids are fed. They're healthy. I mean, ideally, I would like to be able to afford at least one Whopper a day and be able to afford liposuction after I eat one Whopper a day. But I don't have that luxury. But I worked hard for what I've got. It's not privilege. It's not racist that I'm doing better than a lot of people. You know, this whole shutdown thing in my state, it did hurt. It hurt hard. You know, I'm hoping at one point our governor's gonna let us open. I mean, let us be free again. Let us live instead of telling us what we can and can't do. I'm hoping that one day in my life I'll be able to say, oh, we're finally free. But the reason that you're protesting is being lost now. And I'm watching the news reports on this. I normally don't watch the news reports, but I'm watching the news reports. And, you know, MSNBC is just salivating over this and just totally manipulating it. It's a mostly peaceful protest as the building is burning behind them. Come on. We're not stupid. Well, a lot of us are, but the ones that actually can think for themselves were not stupid. These people are protesting. No, they're not protesting. They're rioting. A protest is a legal action. You can protest. That's your First Amendment right. Nowhere in the Constitution does it give you the authority and the legality to loot and burn buildings down and shoot people. That's a crime. Always has been. It better always be. So I'm watching video of these looters. And you know, the crazy first thing that came into my head was, well, that's kind of nice. Some of them are wearing masks. Oh, but they're not social distancing. And let's talk about that. Where are the Democrats in all of this? They were all about social distancing, masks. You have to be social distancing. You have to wear masks. Well, apparently, it only applies to non-rioting citizens of their state. Because you hear nothing from Schumer, Schiff, Nancy Pelosi about, hey, you know what? What happened to the social distancing? Let's get these people rounded up. Apparently, it is against the law to open up a business. You can be arrested to open up your business during a pandemic. Here in the state of Michigan, Carl Mankey lost his license, is being fined up the wazoo because he had the nerve to open up a business during a pandemic that our governor, our illustrious, I shouldn't even call her a governor anymore, our dictator, says you can't do. You can go to jail for that. Look at the hairstylist in Texas. She went to jail because she opened her business. Well, hell, she should have been a rioter because apparently that is okay. You can riot. You can be around all sorts of people as long as it fits the Democrats' verbiage. Yes. They're going to blame this all on Trump. And the Minnesota governor has already started. He is on the record for saying it looks as if these rioters, these looters, were brought in by some other source in from out of state. So in other words, he's saying that it was the RNC or the Republicans that brought these people in to cause racial tensions and destroy a city. Well, let's do some fact checking, because everybody that's been arrested has had a Minnesota address, you dumbass. It's almost like Gretchen Whitmer's running that state. You can't believe anything that this person says. He's trying to save his behind because he knows, I don't know what to do. How do I stop these people? It's called governing. It's called being a leader. You need to get up on the stage and say, stop it. This is not what we are trying to accomplish. If you want to make your point, make it, but do it peacefully. I don't know if I've seen anybody do that yet. It's getting bad in California. It's getting bad in New York, as if things could get worse in New York, it has. Colorado has instilled curfews. Baltimore is already ready to go in flames. Georgia, Michigan, it's just blowing up. Everybody's looking at this as I can riot? Well, let's do it. You know, these people are starting as peaceful protests, and then one jackass in the group decides, I'm going to riot. I'm just going to do it. And everybody follows suit. But really, what are you doing other than creating an additional stereotype? Those are my thoughts on the whole George Flynn thing. It's horrible. It's a horrible situation. It should have never happened. And, well, let's make it worse by destroying the communities we live in. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it just gets worse and worse and worse for our illustrious dictator here in the state of Michigan. Just when she thought things couldn't get any worse, her husband says, hold my beer. I'll make it worse for you. You've probably heard of this story, but you haven't heard it from a Michigander's point of view. So sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez, the Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back. Plans are already underway. Mark your calendars Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Be prepared for the third Mid-Michigan UFO contact. The first two Michigan UFO contacts brought huge crowds, great vendors, and amazing presenters. This year promises to do the same and more. So again, mark your calendars. Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center for Michigan UFO Contact 3. Be a witness to one of Michigan's premier paranormal conventions. Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th, 2020, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center, the Michigan UFO Contact.
When we were young, the higher places made us strong together.
So, of course, the Michigan UFO contact is dependent on our governor, our dictator, releasing us from our prison. So I'm hoping it'll go through, but I'm not even sure. I'm hoping they have the event because it's a great event. If you haven't been to one yet, you need to go to it. But who knows? And even if she does release us, what are we going to do? Have to social distance 6 feet, wear a mask, wear hazmat suits, jump around in a circle 3 times just to make sure the coronavirus spins off us? Who knows? But, you know, our governor is in a world of controversy. She just feels that she can lie and lie and lie, and nobody's going to fact check her. Well, people fact checked her all the time. She was, during the first protest, she was saying there were Nazi flags. There were no Nazi flags. That's lie number one. She has been saying, I've been watching outside of my window, and there are people out there armed with automatic weapons. I am afraid for my family. How do you know that there's an automatic weapon? First off, I'm not even sure that people with automatic weapons are standing there, because I'm sure the Secret Service would be like, you guys need to step back. But secondly, she's telling the world that they have automatic rifles. First off, automatic rifles are not legal. And how are you able to see if you have an automatic rifle there, Whitmer? You can't. There's a little pin on that gun. You got to be right next to that person. And I'm sure that person would give you one hell of a love tap if they had a chance. Things are tough for our governor. You know, Joe Biden is talked to her about a potential VP running mate. Please do it, Joe. Do it. I dare you. Because first off, get her out of the state. And secondly, you want a surefire way to lose the state of Michigan in the next presidential election, put her as your VP. She is a horrible governor, way over her head, has no idea what she's doing. She's kind of like the Fall Guy. In this, bear with me. I think the Democratic Party said, Gretchen, let's do this. Let's put your state on perpetual lockdown. Let's have you put more executive orders on the books than any other governor times three, and let's see how that works. We'll let you be the Fall Guy or Fall Girl or Fall Caitlyn Jenner, I don't know, and see how that works. In return, we'll either give you a VP position or a very, very lucrative cabinet position in President Joe Biden's administration. I really truly think that we are kind of like the guinea pig. The DNC is, they want to see how well the people will comply with whatever the government says. And they're testing Michigan. Whitmer's the Fall Girl. I really believe that. And, well, you can see how that's working. Protest after protest, businesses opening. Now, there's a rumor. I talked about Carl Mankey before. Carl Mankey is the barber in my city, Owosso, Michigan, that has opened in defiance of Governor Whitmer, Dictator Whitmer. I keep calling her a governor. She's beyond that now. Dictator Whitmer's regulations and executive orders. Well, I heard a rumor that she came to him and said, hey, Mr. Mankey, I will drop all charges. I will not suspend your license if you shut down until I say you can open again. And Carl Mankey, supposedly, again, I cannot get any proof or verification of this, but Carl Mankey said, well, I'll do that if you resign. I don't see her resigning. The Michigan Court of Appeals has officially overrode the Shiawassee County judge that said there's no legal reason that this guy can't be open. The Michigan Court of Appeals has overrode that. And as of now, Carl Mankey is shut down. But just today, which is Saturday, he said, oh, no, I'm opening Monday. So this is going to get interesting. This will get interesting because I would love to see the state police come in here and arrest that man. You want to see social chaos? You want to see protesting? You want to see rioting? Oh, you're going to see it. When Carl Mankey is brought out in handcuffs, there is going to be hell to pay. Governor Whitmer might as well leave the state right then, because she has nothing. She has nothing anymore. Nobody, and you're going to get these idiots that say, oh, it's such a good thing we have a governor that will hold these criminals accountable. You're going to get those people. I get that. And you know what? Shut up. Just shut up. This man is trying to make a living. The government is not there to control how you make a living, unless you live in a socialist country, or in our case, a socialist state. She felt like she was doing us such a favor when she opened up the northern half of the Lower Peninsula and the UP. It's like, here, peasants, here's a little bit of a gift for you. Now praise me. Well, she thinks she's doing a big ordeal, doing us a big favor by opening it up. And then her husband gets involved. And you might have heard this story, but over Labor Day weekend, her husband calls a company that specializes in putting boats in the water at the end of winter. And he calls up and he says, hey, can I get a boat put in the water. I'm really, really pressed for time, and I need it this weekend, which was the Memorial Day weekend. And the receptionist is like, no, we can't do that. And he's like, well, let's do that. I really need it done. So the receptionist puts this guy on hold. This guy is the governor's husband, Mark Mallory. He's a dentist. Apparently not a very liked dentist, too. If you read his reviews, Mark Mallory, M-A-L-L-O-R-Y, he's not really liked in his profession. But the receptionist puts him on hold and calls the owner of the company and says, hey, this guy wants to have his boat in. So the owner gets on the phone and says, hey, you know, we've been shut down for a while and we are so far behind, it's not going to happen. So what does the governor's husband do? He says, well, would it make any difference if I told you I was the husband of the governor? And he says, yeah, that would make a huge difference because now you're at the back of the line. What the hell? Name dropping the governor to a business that was shut down. What an idiot. So Tom Barrett, our senator in this section where I live, looks at this and he's like, this can't be true. And he does research and he's like, holy cow, this is true. This actually happened. And posts it online. The governor's office contacts him and says, look, this is not true. This didn't happen. You need to take this off. So he errs on the side of caution and takes it off and does a little bit more research and calls the company. And the company says, oh, yeah, it happened. So he puts it back on. And in the meantime, the governor's office is like, we're not going to respond to every rumor on social media. Basically saying that this is a vile rumor. It never happened until it came out that it actually did happen. The husband of the governor tried to name drop that he's the husband of the governor in hopes of getting his boat in the water by Memorial Day. He's telling the people who his wife has shut down, basically said, you're out of business until I say you are. He's trying to gain a little influence on that. And the owner's like, yeah, I'll tell you, you're at the end of the line. You ain't getting it in this year. So first off, that tells me that she opened up the northern part of the lower Michigan, which is the Traverse City area. She has a cottage or a beautiful mansion about 5 miles out of Traverse City. Elk Rapids is the actual place. And she wanted to spend time up there, so I'm going to have to open it up. She has her idiot husband call this boat launch company to try and get their boat in so they can go boating over the Labor Day weekend where, you know, she was saying in the beginning, you can't have a boat. You can't have a boat in the water that has a gas engine because the lower income people are going to use the gas pumps and spread coronavirus. She wants her boat in. She has her idiot husband call. And when he says no, he's like, oh, what if I told you I'm the governor's husband? What would that do for you? Let's get you to the bottom of the line, you jackass. So what I've got here. And trust me, this is not the original phone call, but I'm going to tell you, this is how I would think it goes. So listen to the idea of how this went. And I think it's going to be pretty damn close to the actual conversation. I don't know if anybody recorded it, and I hope they did. But what you're going to hear is a parody of what the conversation sounded like. Here is a call from the governor's husband to the boat launching company with the governor's husband trying to extend his influence and try and get his boat in the water before the Memorial Day weekend. Listen to this.
Thank you for calling North Shore Dock. Due to the current stay-home order, we are experiencing longer than normal delays. Your patience is appreciated. Thank you.
North Shore Dock.
Just say you're my
Okay, I will. Hello? Hi, I need to get my boat in before the weekend for Memorial Day. You probably need my name. It's Dr. Mark Mallory. Doctor.
Well, Doctor, we are too backed up right now, so there's no chance that can happen this weekend.
Just say you're my husband, you little bitch.
Okay, well, what if I was to tell you that I may just happen to be the husband of the governor. Would that make a difference? No? The husband to Governor Gretchen Whitmer? Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, sir.
So now, how soon can you get my boat in?
Not this weekend, sir.
You do realize I am known as Michigan's first gentleman, don't you?
Okay.
That means nothing to you?
Not really, sir.
You tell him to get our boat in the water or I'll shut down all of Traverse City so fast his head will spin.
Did you hear that? My wife is not playing games here. We want our boat in the water this weekend. Do you understand?
I understand, sir. But there is no chance that could happen this weekend.
He won't let us. What do we do?
Just hang up.
Actually, I was just joking. Prank caller, baba booey, baba booey.
So after initially saying that we don't respond to social media rumors, the heat got so hot on our dictator that she had to come out and say, yeah, yep, he did. It was a bad attempt at humor. I'm not happy that he did it. He's not happy that he did it. In other words, I'm pissed at him, I'm cutting him off, and I'm going to beat his ass for making me look bad. As if she could look any worse, and this did. Because now people are saying, oh, the governor is shutting down the state, but she wants her boat in. What is going on here? It's a classic case of do as I say, not as I do. This is exactly why Governor Whitmer is a one-term governor. I can't tell you the last time we've had a one-term governor in this state, but she's going to be a one-term governor. And to Joe Biden, if you can hear me in your basement where you're hiding out, hear this. Hire her. Get her on the VP ticket. Biden, Whitmer. Oh, that sounds so good. It sounds amazing. I can hear it now. Biden, Whitmer. Biden, Whitmer. It sounds good, Joe. It sounds good. You need to get her on the ticket because it's a surefire way to lose the election. And it gets her out of our hands because we don't want her anymore. We don't want her anymore. We've had enough fun. And it amazes me how many Democrats are like, what is going on? Why won't she let us go? This is what you get when you vote Democrat, you dumbasses. This is what you get. You get higher taxes. You get pledges of fix the damn roads when the roads are not getting fixed. I had a customer come in the other day complaining to me that they are fixing a road that was repaired completely 2 years ago and it had no issues. They tore up the new road and made a newer road. And she's questioning me as to what the hell are they doing. I'm like, this is what you get when you vote Democrat. You're fixing roads that are already fixed. And then she's screaming that she doesn't have enough funding to fix the roads that don't or that do need to be fixed. Well, maybe if you didn't fix the road that was fixed 2 years ago and you fixed the road that needed to be fixed, you would have that funding. This is how it works, people. It's a ridiculous cycle, and it only happens when you have a Democrat governor. Your taxes go up, and your liberties go down. Welcome to Michigan, the most authoritarian state in the continental United States, in the whole United States. I saw a post on Facebook, and again, I cannot attest to its veracity or verification, but it said that our illustrious dictator has issued 130 executive orders during this COVID-19 crisis. And I don't doubt that one bit at all. Every time I turn around, she's issuing another executive order. I have an executive order that North Shore Docks is going to put my boat in before Memorial Weekend. You laugh, but who knows? The closest governor to her, I think, was Ohio with 30. How scary is that? For those of us who live in Michigan, if you want to see, and I've said it before, if you want to see what socialism is going to be like, come to Michigan. Seriously. You can't go anywhere. The governor tells you that you can or can't work. She tells you where you can and can't go. You might get paid by unemployment. You might not. It's not her concern. She has her mansion up north that she wants her boat in, and she wants it in now. This is how socialism works. the government controls every aspect of your life. You have no control over your life. You have no free will. You have no freedoms. You are a pawn of the government, and the government tells you whether or not you will succeed. Hi, socialism. How do you like me now? This is Michigan. You know, we used to have a very, 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 very successful Pure Michigan advertisement campaign, which our governor, our dictator, has just completely gutted and not funded anymore. So you're not going to see those Pure Michigan ads that drove tourism to the state to record levels. And she decided to kill it, which makes no sense to me. But what makes sense with this dictator, honestly? Name something that she does that makes sense. I mean, this whole lockdown, she's basing it on science and facts. Except the science and facts are proving that what she's doing is absolutely 180 degrees wrong. And the science and facts prove that she's just doing this to be spiteful. And honestly, she's a spiteful little one. Oh, she's spiteful. Her and Dana Nessel, the attorney general of the state, they're spiteful little wenches. They are spiteful little chipmunks. Yes, that's a better word, chipmunks. They are spiteful. Carl Mankey opened his store in defiance of them. And without due process, they took away his license. They sent the cops in to give him tickets and civil disobedience orders. And now they go to the Michigan Court of Appeals, and our left-leaning Michigan Court of Appeals says, oh, yeah, Governor Whitmer's right. We need to shut this guy down. What's going to happen Monday when this guy opens his doors? Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to see. And you'll hear about it on the Paranormal Patriot, so keep listening. Because I think Michigan is a weather vane, a barometer of what is going to happen in this country. It's socialist. And when I say socialist, you know I mean Democrats. Take control of this country. Every right you have is going to be limited and given to you by the government. And when I say given to you by the government, they're going to pick and choose who they want to survive and who they want to prosper. If you like socialism, come to Michigan. We're full of it. The problem is most of Michigan hates socialism, but we're stuck. Unless we make a change. And that change will come during next election or maybe when Joe Biden decides to take the change from us. Please, Joe, make the change. Hope and change. That's what I say. So that'll be the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, any show ideas, if you have, again, Jim and Mike talk on the podcast. It's at the beginning of every show now. I've got Jay Miles working on a new promo ad, so you don't hear me talking about him. You can hear him talking about himself. If you have anything, record it. It's fun. Get creative. Record what you want, and I'll put it on the show to get exposure for anything you need. All you got to do is contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4. Again, for all of you who contacted me this week and gave me words of encouragement, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this show because I sure had a lot of fun doing it. It's kind of nice pissing people off because I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off. So you have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week. Until then, sit back, relax, and keep that mind open. This has been The Paranormal Patriot. Thanks for listening.